Well, this morning we're going to continue on with the sermon series that I began last week, Lessons Leading to Easter. If you have your Bibles open, I'd like for you to turn them open to, or I'd like to have your Bibles with you, turn them open to Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to look specifically at verses 1 through 9. Today we're going to look at some lessons that we can learn from the Transfiguration. That's really the point of this sermon series. How can we learn in the gospel narratives lessons, the exact same lessons that Jesus is trying to teach his disciples before he ultimately goes to the cross, where he takes the punishment for your sin and my sin, where that punishment, that judgment from God kills him, they bury him, and 3 days later he raises from the grave, demonstrating that he has victory over sin and death, so that whoever believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead, whoever confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Before all of that happened, the crux, the good stuff of why Jesus came to the earth, he had to teach his disciples lessons. And today we're going to see some lessons on the Transfiguration. Now understand, no one sermon, not one message can exhaust what we learn from Scripture. So today we're going to see three applications that we can gain in seeing the glory of Christ. Three applications that we can gain in seeing the glory of Christ. And the sermon outline for this message is been posted to Facebook a few days ago, and it's also on our church webpage as well, so that you can follow along. So let's read here verses 1 through 3 and begin as we look at today's text. Matthew 17, beginning with verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses, Elijah, talking with him. Now let's stop right there, and let's consider our first point here, our first application point from this passage. Number one, there is privilege in seeing the glory of Christ, or the glory of Jesus. Number one, there is privilege in seeing the glory of Jesus. You see, it was at a point in Jesus' ministry where he needed to teach his disciples something. Now notice here, Matthew lets us know that he and some others were not invited to go up with Jesus to this high mountain to see him transfigure, to show his glory. So for Peter, James, and John, this was a great privilege for them. Why is it a privilege? Well, because Peter, James, and John got to see Jesus change into his pre-incarnate glorious self. That is what the word transfigured, it comes from the Greek word metamorphosis, or changes from one to another. And isn't it beautiful here that Peter, James, and John get to see this from Jesus? Why Peter, James, and John? Well, I can tell you there's a lot of ink spilt as to why it is Peter, James, and John. But for our purposes today, we just need to understand that these three disciples were invited by Jesus on this occasion and also on several other occasions to see something spectacular, to see something private, to see something intimate with Jesus that they would use as they began to take the gospel throughout the known world after he rose from the grave and ascended to the Father. So here, these three men, they go up to this mountaintop. And whenever Jesus stepped foot on top of the mountaintop, at a certain point in time, Matthew says that he was transfigured before them. Jesus changed. Now, he was still fully man and fully God, but something about him changed. And what changed? Well, through his flesh, through the man part of Christ, the full deity shone through. I mean, they're trying to describe to us the indescribable. So as they try to describe to us the indescribable, Matthew says that his face shone like the sun. Now think about that. Think about trying to look at the sun at high noon on a summer day, or even right in the middle of winter when the sun seems so bright. That is what the face of Jesus looked like. It shone like the sun, almost as if you had to cover your eyes because it was so bright. But not only did his face shine like the sun, but even his clothes became white as light. We have here this beautiful, like Shekinah glory of God manifested in Christ. Jesus is showing his full deity, and his face and his clothes are shining forth that divine glory. Oh, think what a privilege that is. And then that's not even the whole story. Because what we see now is that not only do they see Jesus in his face shining like a sun and his clothes shining white as light, then these three men get to see two important Old Testament men with Jesus discussing things with him. They see Moses and they see Elijah talking with the Savior. Now, there's a lot of opinion as to what they were talking about. And frankly, if the scripture is silent, I'm not going to scream, because we don't necessarily know what they're talking about in this passage. But we do know that these three men, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, as Jesus is shining forth in his pre-incarnate deity, they are having this discussion. And Peter, James, and John get to see it. You see, there is a privilege in seeing the glory of Jesus. What is the privilege here? Well, the privilege is that they get to manifest it. They get to see the manifestation of it. They get to be eyewitnesses of something so glorious and so wonderful. Now, some of you may be thinking, okay, Pastor Bradford, that sounds really good, but how does that apply to my life today? I'm sure many of us that are listening to this message, many of us who can hear these words or who have read this passage of Scripture, I'm pretty sure a lot of you have seen the glory of Christ in your life. By the fact that you are a born-again believer, you have seen the glory of Christ. By the fact that perhaps at one point in your life you have been so low and you've seen God answer your prayer, you have seen the glory of Christ. Or perhaps even on the other side of that coin, where you have been so low and you didn't see the answer that you wanted from God, but yet God persevered you, you have seen the glory of Christ. You can see the glory of Christ in Scripture, as the Scripture displays how awesome and how wonderful he is, and what an important part of the Trinity he plays, and that the fact that he is Savior and he is Lord. You and I, we have seen the glory of Christ. We see the glory of Christ as we read this passage right now, and there is great privilege in seeing that, because the reality is, not everybody sees the glory of Christ. There are many people who reject. There are many people who do not believe. There are many people who could care less. And if that is your attitude, if that is your thought, if that is your lack of faith, then you will not see the glory of Christ. But yet for those who believe, those who have believed, those who have seen Christ work in their lives, we have seen the glory of Christ. And that is a wonderful privilege. But it doesn't stop there. Number two, we're going to see there is responsibility in seeing the glory of Christ. There's privilege in seeing the glory of Christ, number one. Number two, there is responsibility in seeing the glory of Christ. Let's read verses 4 and 5 together. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." There is responsibility in seeing the glory of Christ. You know, as we look at this passage, it's interesting that Mark and Luke also describe this passage, but yet Mark gives us a little insight. Mark says that Peter, not knowing what to say or not knowing what to answer, he said, "Lord, if it's good that we are here, if you wish, I will make three tents here." You see, there's great responsibility in seeing the glory of Christ. And Peter here just quite doesn't understand what his responsibility is. You see, whenever Peter saw the glory of Christ, his face shining like the sun, his clothes as white as light, Whenever Peter saw that Moses was there and Elijah was there, Peter wanted to do one thing. Peter wanted to do something with his hands. He didn't want to take it in. He didn't want to understand it. He didn't want to figure out how to apply it. He just needed to do something. The main thing he needed to do was talk. Now notice, as I said, Mark said that Peter, not knowing what to answer, said something. You notice, nobody here is asked the question. Peter, James, John, they're not asked, hey, what do you all think about this? No, Peter just begins to talk. And he says to Jesus, hey, why don't I make three tents here? One for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. You see, I think ultimately what Peter wanted to do was to build something like a memorial. Something that could always be there. Something where they could go back and say, man, this is where Jesus stood. This is where Moses stood. This is where Elijah stood. A place where they could go back and worship. And if you remember the passage in which I had Tice read, Jesus says that there will be a time where we have to worship in spirit and truth and not at a building such as the temple. Isn't that the case today? That as a church, we have to worship Christ in spirit and truth, not gathered in a building, not gathered anywhere, but just gathered in heart and spirit that we can worship Christ in spirit and truth. You see, this is, I believe, what Peter wanted to do. He wanted to erect a memorial that they could go back to, pilgrimage to, and worship. And that's not what Jesus wanted Peter to do. Jesus wanted Peter to have this great privilege of seeing his glory, but yet there's also a responsibility with that. Now notice who answers Peter. There's this cloud, this bright cloud that overshadows them. Now, in the Old Testament, anytime you see fire and cloud, that is always a manifestation of God's presence and of his glory. So now we have God the Son being transfigured, going through a metamorphosis right before them. They have Moses is there and Elijah is there, and now God is there in this bright cloud. And notice what God says. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. You see, even God is letting Peter understand your purpose, the plan for your life is not to build memorials, but the plan and purpose for your life, Peter, is to listen to Jesus. Oh, for those of us who have seen and had the privilege of seeing the glory of Christ, one of our responsibilities in seeing the glory of Christ is just simply listening to Jesus. Do we listen to Jesus? Do we hear his voice in crisis? Do we hear his voice in blessings and abundance? You see, we are supposed to, as his followers, listen to the Savior. That is the great responsibility that we have in seeing the glory of Christ. Not to build a memorial, but to listen to the teachings of Christ. And how do we listen to the teachings of Christ? For us personally, in this dispensation, we listen to the words of Christ by reading the words of Christ and by reading God's word and his scripture. So we have the idea that there is a privilege in seeing the glory of Christ. Number two, there is a responsibility in seeing the glory of Christ. But number three, there is comfort in seeing the glory of Christ. God shows up in a cloud. And I don't know what the voice of God sounds like, but Jesus' response indicates that Peter, James, and John had a little bit of fear in them. So they fell. It says here in verses 6, when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and they were terrified. I mean, Peter's the one that brought it up, but James and John are with Peter. And so all three of them are on the ground and they are terrified. They're on their faces. But notice what Jesus does. Jesus comes and he touches them and he says, rise and have no fear. And they were lifted, and when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful picture of Christ? Peter, James, and John, they have this awesome privilege of seeing the glory of Christ. Peter fails in his responsibility in seeing the glory of Christ. He wants to build something instead of learn something. But now Jesus comes. After God speaks and they are terrified, Jesus comes and he says, rise, have no fear. And if there are two phrases that we need to latch our faith fingers on today, is the phrase that God said to Peter, James, and John, listen to Jesus, and then the words of Christ himself, rise and have no fear. And that was obviously very edifying and effectual to Peter, James, and John, because Matthew says, when they lifted their eyes, understand, their faces are in the dirt, but when Jesus touches them and says, have no fear, they raise up their eyes and they see no one but Jesus only. Jesus is with them. He blesses them. He encourages them. He's given them a great privilege. They have obviously learned an amazing lesson here. But for us, what's our walk away? What's our takeaway from this passage? Where are we in these verses? Well, I don't know how God is working in your heart. I don't know how God is feeding your soul this morning, wherever you're watching this or whenever you're watching this. But I do know that he's with you. I do know that Jesus loves you. I know that wherever we are, God wants us to listen to Christ. And I know that if we are with Jesus, whenever he touches us, we can rise with confidence and have no fear. Isn't it beautiful that coming out of fear, feeling the touch of Christ, the only thing they saw was Jesus? They didn't see the cloud. They didn't see Moses. They didn't see Elijah. They just saw the face of Christ. And what a beautiful lesson to learn for the disciples as Jesus is leading them to Easter. And what a beautiful lesson for us to learn this morning. Now, unfortunately, we can't have a traditional type of invitation. But an invitation we will have. If you have a need, you can reach us at church at 431-2926, area code 573, for those of you who may be watching outside of our area code, 573-431-2926. And we'll get back with you as soon as we possibly can. You can also send an email message to office@fbcdeloge.net. And if you send that email message, we will return a message to you as soon as we possibly can. But don't walk away from this without responding to God's word. Don't walk away with this without responding yes to Jesus, yes to God, and feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. At this time, I'm going to have Mike Reed come up. He is our deacon of the week, and he will close us in prayer. Michael?
As we close in prayer, we're just reminded of everything that's going on in the world today and in our country and elsewhere. Let's be strong and not fearful. Fear is a liar. Always remember that. Fear is a liar. As we come to the Lord, Lord God, as I come to you today, Lord, someone other myself has come up with a little phrase from the COVID-19. I'd like to share that, Lord. It just says, you know, COVID-19, COVID-19, Christ overcomes viruses, illnesses, infections, disease, disaster, and destruction, Lord. And 19, representing Joshua 1:9, says, haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Lord God, thank you for these scriptures. Thank you for these people, Lord, that lead us in worship. Be with this church. Be with all churches. Be with all peoples of this world, Lord. Lord God, I just ask that you watch over us, protect us. We have to trust in you, Lord. I myself have been fearful, and I have to learn to trust in you more. Because fear is a liar, Lord. And I must turn all myself all over to you and let you take this from me. And I ask all others to please do the same. Turn over all their fears to Lord God Jesus Christ, for he's in control. Amen.